God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for worship. It is not an accident that you said, send Judah first. We thank you for your worship, for being able to worship. Thank you, Lord God. You are everything we've just said about you is true. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are present with us right now. We thank you that where two or three are gathered, you said you would be in the midst, and here you are with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And it just changes everything. It's what makes us different. You are what makes us different. You are what makes us whole. You are who gives us hope. Lord, may we live lives that shine so brightly with that others may pine for you. That every day we would remind ourselves that it's all about you, and everything we have that is good is because of you. And that message is what is to be shared. That is the good news that we're willing to run the distance with. Bless this time, Lord. Let every word be yours. For your glory and for the sake of your kingdom and its building in each of our hearts, and as we go out to live lives so that others may know. In Jesus' name, amen. Homie, thank you. Always. You're my favorite. Faith has such a... I'm sorry. Hold on. I'll do it carefully this time. That's classic, Janice. Don't you love it? It's classic. I'm trying to say that Faith has such a sweet voice that it is such a blessing to me every time she leads worship. Just because I like music, and I just love hearing your voice. On top of that is your heart for the Lord and how you lead us. So you have no clue how grateful I am for you. But I am so grateful for you that I never worry that the Holy Spirit will not be here by the time I'm here. You know? So thank you. I love you. We love you, and we're grateful for you, and do not take you for granted. You want some dessert? If you have dessert, I know I can bully you into giving it to me. That's not what this is about. No, but honestly, we love you so much. Guys, I think this might be the first time ever that I've written something out completely and feel like the Lord has snatched it away and said, just trust me. And so I want to ask you, for how many of you was it a real push to get here today? Yeah. Raise my hand. It was a real push. There were some real barriers, and not like wimpy ones. Some of it was distractions, but it's like real stuff, right? And it's just been a push. And so... you know, today I'm resting in, not by might or by power, but by the Spirit, which is Jesus-like. We're talking about the Spirit today, the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, like it says in John 16:13. And I mean, I thought I had a really, really cute thing for you. A really, really cute thing. And I was just like, oh, this is cute. And then it's just, you gotta keep the main thing the main thing, like our pastor says. And the main thing is this, that what I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to communicate to you today is that this life is a marathon. A marathon. And sometimes you're just at mile 20 and you still got 6.2 to go. And I was looking up just this morning because I was like, why is this on my heart today, God? But I started looking up. I said, Lord, what's the toughest mile for a marathon? Anybody in here ever run a marathon? Y'all crazy. But brave. Let me tell you something. 26.2, I mean, I just can't imagine it. But so I started looking up the hardest mile, and you can nod your head if this rings true with you guys. But I was like, Lord, what is the hardest mile of a marathon? And it says, for most runners, the last 10K of a marathon is also the toughest because it feels like you have to break through a wall. So once you get to mile 20, it's like, oh my gosh, I have 6.2 to go. Does that ring true with y'all? And it says, just the 10K to go for marathoners, that phrase is both a blessing and a curse. It means you're almost there, only 6.2 miles to the finish. But it also means the toughest part is yet to come, because runners often think of marathons as the first 20 and then the last 10K. Because in the last 10K, you're exerting the most effort. Your legs are complaining, your body has run out of glycogen, and your head feels like a typical day in Seattle, which is cloudy. And they say you're just hitting the wall. It says, but with proper training and racing techniques, plus the right fuel, fluids, and mental strategies, you can make the last 10K of your marathon, maybe not a walk in the park, but an integral part of your marathon success story. And I'm just thinking about that. And in fact, maybe life is like, you know, a series of marathons, because we, you know, go through seasons in life. And it's not like we're coming up to mile 20 once, and then once we're past it, we're past it. I think after hearing Allison speak in the last series about being thirsty for more and being in a desert place, we kind of realized that life, it just ebbs and flows, and we come through different seasons at different times. And so I don't know about you, but I have always felt like I wanted to be that A student for the entire time. And maybe some of us are thinking, or at least I was thinking, at mile 20, I still want to be rocking that thing. I still want to get an A. And something about it may not be a walk in the park, but can still be an integral part of your marathon success story stuck out to me. Because what you need is, it says, duration is the goal. It's about enduring. And how does the Holy Spirit help us when it comes to studying? The Holy Spirit gives us the fuel we need to be able to endure, and oftentimes ahead of when we would need to endure it. And not just then, of course, the Holy Spirit gives us what we need in the moment, but when we come to thinking about studying the Word and allowing the Spirit to help us through Strong's and through other tools that we might need, we've got to let the Holy Spirit lead us, because we can't see mile 20 at mile 5. We can't see mile 20 before we start the race even. You know, before a big marathon, you know, people hype up on carbs the night before, right? I know just enough to know, no thank you. But they hype up on carbs, and I know like the Nashville Marathon, sponsored by St. Jude here in the city, they have this big, you know, pasta night where you can come and get the pasta that you need, because they know that tomorrow mile 20 is coming. You wouldn't need pasta if you were only going 6 miles. You just wouldn't. But it's about getting to mile 20. And so I just want to encourage somebody today. The push requires endurance, and it requires the Word in a way that you might not have known you would need it, or you might not know you're going to need it later. So you have to let the Holy Spirit lead you. I want to read some things to you. starting at John 14, verse 18. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he's arrested. And he's trying to prepare them for the mile 20 that's coming, for the last 10K. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. A couple of things. One, let's talk about the boundaries of that. Because if you flip over to chapter 15, verse 26, it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So let's just create some boundaries real quick as it comes to allowing the Holy Spirit to use the word to give us the nourishment we'll need for mile 20. The boundaries are that he's leading you to all truth about Jesus. I went on a mission, and that seems like, okay, girl, water is wet, right? But I went on a mission trip one time and ended up having a conversation with somebody on the mission trip. I thought we were actually on the same mission. And we were not. Because in this one conversation, the man said to me, in trying to explain to me why people don't necessarily need to accept Jesus to go to heaven, he was quoting to me, and the Holy Spirit's gonna guide you into all truth, and I'm depending on him to do that, even if it leads me away from Jesus. Verbatim. And I'm like, then you must not have read the rest of the verse, because it says later on, he will bear witness about me. So let's just create boundaries and realize that it seems simple, but all of the word, let me explain it this way. All of the word works together to tell the same story about our loving God who, let's take John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? Everything in the word is telling the story about a loving God who wanted us, gave everything for us, in order to have us with him. And those are the bounds. So if you feel like something is leading you outside of that, it's not the Holy Spirit. And that's in small ways. When I know you hear what that man said and you think, how could he? Little by little. It's why we have to sit down to study the word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. There have been times when I've sat down with the word and I read something and it's just like words on a page. And I have to stop and say, Holy Spirit, I know by your word that this word is alive. So will you make it come alive for me? Will you make it come alive for me? Will you make it nourish me? Because these disciplines, this discipline specifically that we're talking about, is not just so that we can check the box for that day, but it's actually so that we may have life. In mile five, you don't feel the need for the pasta, but it doesn't mean it's not fueling you. But you most certainly will be grateful for the pasta in mile 21. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is working at all times as you submit yourself to the disciplines to illuminate the word for you, reveal things, reveal not as in Jim Jones reveal, you know what I mean? Like, I got something brand new that you never heard before. Reveal as in, here's some Kool-Aid, no thanks. Reveal as in, pull the covers back or pull the wool off of our eyes so we can see more clearly. Does that make sense? What's been there? Like Pastor Jonathan, was anybody here this Sunday when Pastor Jonathan was preaching? And he was just talking about entering into his gates with thanksgiving and how he's always seen it. And something was bugging him. The Holy Spirit was putting a question before him that he couldn't just blaze past, so that he had to ask the Lord the question and let the Holy Spirit lead him into the truth. And it turns out when he got there, doggone it, it was simply the gospel again, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's how we get life, through him. Everywhere, it's going to come down to that. It's going to come down to that, which is awesome. I was telling the ladies in prayer this morning that I feel like the Bible, as a mom of a toddler, I've been teaching Gabriel the alphabet, and he's just soaked it all up to the point where he finds letters everywhere, even small ones that I didn't even see. And he's so excited about it, and he's so excited about letter sounds and wanting to sound things out that he's just like a step from reading. He wants it so badly. And I thought, Lord, that is your word. Because I look at him with the alphabet and I think, little baby, the sky is the limit. Wait till you can read. Can you imagine all the words he's gonna discover? And he's just excited about the 26 letters and being able to identify them. But at the same time, those letters are solid and they're the building blocks for the English language and all the words he'll know. So it's kind of like, the Holy Spirit is like, if I can just get you to say, A is for apple, I'll work with that thing. You know, B is for boat, and we'll get there. Because eventually you'll be saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, right? Amen, because that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He guides us into all truth, and we don't have to be intimidated when we come to the word, based on anything. And I just feel the need to say, it's not about going to seminary. It's not about having taken a class. Today, it's about knowing that the Holy Spirit wants you to know the word for the sake of fueling yourself for the marathon and the marathon again and a marathon again. And he's not going to leave you hungry if you want to be fed. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and he's going to be bearing witness about our triune God, about our Jesus, who Colossians 2 says is the image of the invisible God. If you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus said it himself, right? And the Holy Spirit knows what's in the Father's heart. And when it comes time to pray and we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit, who knows what's in the heart of the Father, is gonna help us pray. Oh my goodness, we can't lose. It's set up for us to win. But it's not by might and it's not by power. It's by the Holy Spirit.
in thinking about the boundaries and thinking about how the Lord wants to fuel us, it's so interesting. What fuels one may not fuel another. One verse that, like Sarah said, you might be chewing on today may not be the one that I'm chewing on today. It may not be what's sustaining me in the moment, which is another reason why you need the Holy Spirit. Because, for instance, I've been in John 15, chewing on John 15, probably for a month and a half now. And the Lord's just been reminding me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The branch apart from the vine can do nothing. And it's so interesting. I thought, yeah, I mean, I, in this season, feel like I'm in a, I feel like the Lord gave me the word for what I feel the other day, and it's an unless type of season. It's like, Lord, unless you give me energy, I will not have it. Or unless you give me a word, I won't have it. Unless you come and fill my home, we won't be able to make it kind of thing. It's an unless type of season for me. And I'm very much feeling the apart from me, you can do nothing type of thing. But what word are you chewing on? What does the Holy Spirit have you thinking about? For a while, the Holy Spirit had me chewing on the fact that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Because for a while, I had forgotten. I had just been leaning on, but have everlasting life. But it's like, remember what you've been rescued from. You've been rescued from perishing. And that was the word to chew on. What about you guys? Somebody, honestly, speak back. Somebody tell me, what's the Holy Spirit been having you chew on lately? Be still. Rest. Such a good one. Quiet. Provision. Somebody, I heard one more. Oh man, I didn't hear you. Sprouting up from brokenness. Yes. Yes. The Holy Spirit gives us what we need to chew on for now in this season and for where we're going. And never feel the pressure to move ahead of him. Ever. Why not? When he had me on John 3:16, I thought, okay, got it. All the way back to the felt boards, got it. But no, honestly, be still, rest, quiet, provision, sprouting up from broke. I mean, honestly, it's not like we haven't heard these things before. We just don't know the fuel that the Lord is giving us for now and where we're going. So we chew on what he's given us. All the tools he's given us. Hold on. Let's think of it this way. We have a big pot of soup or stew. I like stew better. Soup has a lot of broth. I like stuff. I like stew. And all of our disciplines are like our utensils to dig down into that stew. What comes up is what the Holy Spirit is feeding you. But you do have to dig deep, right? You do have to get up. You do have to pick up your word. You do have to pray and ask the Lord to illuminate the word. And then you trust. Do you see how it works? We dip and trust that when we pull up from our disciplines, that the Holy Spirit has given us our fuel. There's a difference between how I dip my spoon and feed myself and how my toddler dips his spoon. Which is why disciplines over time help you get more nourishment. Have you ever watched a toddler try to feed himself? Of course you have. Yeah. If he's feeding himself alphabet soup, maybe you get one letter in the mouth, right? And over time, I've been watching my son, his dexterity get a little more refined. And eventually, it'll be like mine, where he can fill a spoon and he knows how to dig even more deeply. And I think Carol will tell you a little bit more about that, about using tools and how we use tools to do that. But we definitely have to dive into the process. I don't want to miss that today. We definitely have to dive in and let the Holy Spirit fuel us. Coming to the one other big thing I felt like the Holy Spirit wants me to say to you is consumption. In America, in the American church, due to how we live, sometimes it's easy to just, okay, you'll do the disciplines, you'll come to study, and you'll study the word, and our hearts are in the right place to hear the word. Like, and I know that about all of you. But sometimes as an American Christian, I feel like I have a tendency to ponder something to death. And I'm telling you, the picture the Lord gave me is, it's often right now through my son, and it's how he eats apples. Gabriel loves the taste of an apple. I mean, he loves it. He asks for an apple every day because it really is yummy. I mean, right now, Honeycrisp is in season, and it is amazing. But he chews it up, and then he spits it back out. It's so annoying. Because Honeycrisp are $2.99 a pound. And I got them that he might have fiber. But then I think about it, I think about it and I think, Lord, I have been guilty of that. Taking your rich, amazingly delicious and nutritious word, chewing it up like, that was good. Right, girl? Good. And then be like, okay, next one. Just consuming, but not really letting it get to where it needs to go. Fuel has to be digested. And having been a science nerd, which at this point you guys know about me, it is the smallest parts of our body that actually absorb nutrients, right? It's not our lungs are not taking our food and munching it up like everything we need, right? It's the smallest segments of our bodies that are absorbing the nutrients. On the cellular level, our cells, all the little pieces that make up all the tissue, then all the organs, then our whole body, right? It's the cellular level where our nutrients are actually being absorbed. And it's why we are into essential oils in Williamson County. One, because people can afford it, because it's expensive. But two, because they've told us, and I believe, that we absorb this plant-based nutrition on a cellular level. I mean, that's what makes it different from food, especially now that we can't get everything we need from food because of soil and all of that stuff. In the same way, the word is intended to be digested to the very smallest parts of us. And when I say that, I mean like our fears, our insecurities, pride, like the way, 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 way deep down places. Not the smile that you see or the explanation I'm able to give that includes Bible that kind of skates over it, but the actual places in our hearts that are hurting or wounded. That's where the word is supposed to get to. And I'll give you an example. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. To some degree, I have always felt like I had to prove my worth. As a kid, I was affirmed for doing well in school. And because I needed that affirmation, I started just doing even better in school to get more of that affirmation. And somewhere along the way, like I told you earlier, I'm the type of chick who, I just want to get an A. I want to get an A. Please give me an A. I want to have gotten an A in everything because there was something a long time ago that was formed in me as response to woundedness that said, hey, you can do this. And if you can do this, you can get what you need. If you can do this, you can get what you need. Well, that's just not Bible truth, right? If I abide in him, I have everything I need. Not if I do something, then I'll get what I need. That's the cellular level. When it says abide in me, it's like, okay. Because, I mean, who can actually fake abide? I mean, what does it mean to abide apart from, like, let's just get to the nitty-gritty of the thing. Abide in me and I in you. Yes, Lord. It doesn't mean just come to church. It doesn't mean just participate in worship. But it means allow, make your home in the Lord and let him make his home in you. Which means the dusty corners will be exposed. Right? The cellular level. We have to let the word of God get to the cellular level. So when we dip our spoons and the Holy Spirit says, in this meal you need spinach because you need the iron, you need carbs for the distance, you need this, and we go to ingest it, we don't just say, that was good and spit it out, but we let it go deep, deep, deep down in and say, Lord, how are you actually transforming my life? Because that is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. That is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Not just make us feel good in the moment, not just give us peace, but lead us into life that we've been given more abundantly. Knowing that I don't have to prove myself, there's a weight off. I don't have to get an A. And I didn't always get A's, let me tell you. It's just a weight off. I was sharing at the women's retreat how in becoming a mom, I still wanted to work, and make sure that I staked my claim in work, that people didn't forget that, you know, I'm a mom, but I'm still working. And the Lord was like, what? Be still. Rest. And I had to let his word get to the cellular level to say, you are just as valuable to me, even if you're just sitting still, even if you're just resting. And for a while, I did not digest it. I would say, so sweet. Okay, now, and take it as the Lord's sweetness and move on. But it's not just that. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We've just got to let it go down. Does that make sense? Jesus came to save all that which was lost. all that which was lost. One of the saddest things for me to watch is when I see a believer decide to just limp the rest of their lives. When the Lord says, you don't have to, you know what I mean? He came to save all that which was lost. How can I explain that more deeply? Probably be more vulnerable. That's probably the answer. I'll put it this way. As a kid, right now you generally see a pretty joyful Janice, generally, because God is good. But as a child, there were certain things that I experienced that were very traumatic. One of them being just washing dishes one day, which I always wash dishes. I don't know how I was a designated dishwasher. I still hate dishes. But I was washing dishes one day in the kitchen in our ghetto neighborhood, in a house in our ghetto neighborhood, like hood, like drug deals across the street. And apparently there was something going on in the alley behind us that day, a drug deal. And I'm washing dishes, and we had a dog, because my mom loves animals, and the dog just started barking like crazy. And then we hear a couple of shots. Well, one of them came through the window above my head. Thank the Lord for being 4'11 and a half. And another one hit our actual dog. Well, the reality is, when things like that happen to you, especially as a child, that trauma just goes deep and it affects your brain. It affects how you see the world. And so once I became a mom, I had learned kind of how to function apart from that. But becoming a mom, I quickly realized that I'm a person who rarely feels safe. If I walk into any room, I'm very aware of where all the exits are and who's in the room. I can be smiling and laughing, but I know. If I'm walking down the street, I see the crazy person who's walking in my direction. I'm like, try me. Honestly. And I have carried this so much so that even in going to vote yesterday, I handed the woman my license. And she said, well, your address doesn't match the address that we have on file. I said, yeah, well, you know, we addressed that when I voted in the primaries or whatever. And finally, I was able to vote because the woman was like, they're not asking her to verify her address. It's fine. But I realized in that moment, I moved and I didn't change my license and didn't plan to. Why? Because in my mind, if somebody ever robs me, you will not know where I live. I think that way all the time. And in becoming a mom, the biggest struggle has been not only believing that I'm safe, but that believing my child is safe. And so the Lord's been like, let me get down to the cellular level. Let the word work for you. That nothing comes to you that's not passed through my hands. Not even the bullet that went, by the way, over your head. So I say all of that to say that every discipline we come to as it concerns our faith is for now and later, and it's to be digested. We are actually on a conveyor belt that's going backwards. And we've got to let the word work to go in the way of sanctification and life towards the Lord. And because we don't have all the answers, And because we don't know what mile 20 looks like, we need the Holy Spirit. It's really a brilliant plan that the Lord has given us to, hey, you can trust these disciplines, but alongside that, you can trust my Holy Spirit, actual God, come to you to lead you, pair up with those disciplines so that you have everything that you need. Because it's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. It is going to be by my Spirit. You will be fueled based on what I know you're coming to, based on who I know you to be. Isn't that good news? That the Lord has thought so far ahead and loves us so much to give us responsibility and then carry the burden. Does that make sense? He gives us a responsibility in the work, but we do not carry the burden of the work. We show up with our spoon and we dig and we come up with treasure that the Holy Spirit has provided for us. You know? That's what it is today. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have come to help. That we come to the table to dig in, and somehow you feed us exactly what we needed. Lord, would you help us to just let it go all the way down to the cellular level? Help us to just let it go down. I thank you for every woman in this room, God, and every single place that you have us in. Similar places, vastly different places, whatever they may be. I thank you that wherever we are, you are with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to bear this burden, but you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, Lord, today we receive that. We come to the table in this season as believers who are ready to feast on your word. We come ready to dig in. We're bringing all of our tools with us. And we're setting aside the time to dig deep. But, Lord, give us the courage and the sight and the hearing to see what you're putting before us, that we may take it in and let it go all the way down. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, that everywhere we look in your word, we find you and your love for us and your commitment to us. Thank you, Lord. Bless this, our time. Let your word have fallen on good soil, Lord God, and let it produce much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, sorry, one more thing. Do y'all know the story of the first marathon? The very first marathon? It was about a guy who literally ran 26.2 miles to carry a message, I think, to a town in Greece called Marathon. And then he dropped dead. Which is why, I mean, it makes you wonder why we picked it up as sport. But I say that to say, people don't just drop dead from running marathons because now we have the information as to how to make it through. We just gotta use it, okay? We gotta use it. Love y'all.